Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, August the 5th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster. Thank you for choosing our program. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and the Voice Network, our simulcast partners in Douglas on KAPR, that's AM 930, and up in Globe on KJAA AM 1240. And of course, we're on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have all of our shows archived there for 24/7 listening. Also, we have a new partnership. You can hear our program on TucsonSentinel.com. They'll also have the Buckmaster Show, so you can listen to the program anytime. Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, we begin with our Friday Focus interview, featuring a newsmaker interview. Then at the bottom of the hour, our Friday Reporters Roundtable, and we'll close out with our Weekend Watch. I have dubbed him the Culinary Cruiser, Matt Russell, talking about good places to go over the weekend. Today's Friday Focus Newsmaker interview is with Gary Hayes. Mr. Hayes heads up the Regional Transportation Authority, known as the RTA. His other hat, heading up the Pima Association of Governments, known as PAG. Joining me in our conversation with Gary Hayes is Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star. We invite you to join in on the conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or toll free from anywhere in North America 1-866-725-5467. You can also submit questions at buckmastershow.com or on the Buckmaster Show page on Facebook, and we are delighted to have Gary Hayes with us. Mr. Hayes, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill.
It's a 20-year program approved by the voters in May of 2006, and I think it was overwhelming, wasn't it, the final vote count on the RTA 20-year program?
Yeah, the vote was actually 60-40 or
okay, 60-40, so we'll call that overwhelming. Yeah. So you're 5 years into that 20-year, $2 billion plan. Happy with the first 5 years?
We are. We just had our five-year anniversary, as you indicated, on the 16th of May. We made certain promises and commitments to the voters, and we're pretty pleased about we've been able to do most of that, and we're going to keep doing that.
I wanted to ask you about how the public perceives the RTA. I mean, people who follow the news closely and who are, I mean, everyone's affected by roads and,
sure,
and construction projects and things like that. But I think a lot of times you're cruising down the road, you see, oh, there's a project, you don't really think about where it comes from. Mm-hmm. So how do you deal with people who think, what is the RTA? What do you do? You're taking my tax money.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of an esoteric sort of thing in the grand scheme of things in people's busy lives. So how do you explain it in layman's terms to people?
Well, a couple of things. One is, we just talking about a five-year anniversary. I don't think we've done a good enough job in getting our message out there in terms of making sure the public understands. The next 5 years, even more so than the first 5 years, you're going to see a lot more construction, and you're going to see some pretty detailed signage on what the RTA is all about in that construction. Actually, if you go around town right now, you look at La Cañada, La Cholla, you look at bus pullouts, you look at the intersection of Kolb Road and golf links. I mean, there's a lot of disruption that's already out there. Now, granted, the signage doesn't pop into people's minds as they go by, but there's a message to be told, and we think we just need to do a little better job in telling it.
So you say there's a lot of disruption out there, and from your point of view, that's a good thing.
Correct.
So disruption on the roads,
right,
from the RTA point of view, you're doing your job. From the motorist point of view, it'll eventually be okay. It may be
right,
a pain now, but okay.
Yeah, the short-term disruption, I think, will yield to major improvements. And actually, we've seen that in the projects that we've completed during the first 5 years. You look at the Twin Peaks Interchange, Camino de Mañana, people love it. And they have to go through a lot of disruption on I-10 to get to it, but they really enjoy it.
Gary Hayes is with us. It's 12:09 on the Buckmaster Show. If you have a question about perhaps road construction around the area, 790-2040. Whenever I ask about road construction, people want to talk about potholes, but that's not necessarily the RTA's thing.
It is not. You know, we're all about adding capacity to our transportation system. It's really jurisdictional responsibility to maintain the roadway. And we're really not creating that many new roadways. We're really expanding, widening, putting bikeways, more intersection improvements, that sort of thing. But the potholes, That's not in our plan.
Tucson Water, their locations around town, Steve Kosacek, Tucson City Councilman, has said on this program and elsewhere that RTA, some of the responsibilities for these Tucson Water relocations, I'm not quite sure exactly what the issue is, but I know that RTA has come under fire in that area.
Right. I think Councilmember Kosacek feels that, you know, RTA projects should be funding Tucson Water relocation of water lines. Our position was that, you know, utilities have the opportunity to operate in rights of way basically for free, whether it's in the county or the city or the smaller jurisdictions. But beyond that, the 20-year plan really followed four unsuccessful initiatives over 20 years prior to 2006. And what we're really doing is funding jurisdictional projects. So every project in the city is basically a city project. It's just now that we have the money to do it. If the RTA didn't exist and all of a sudden the city of Tucson found the money to build their projects, Tucson Water certainly would be paying for relocating the utility.
I wanted to ask about the Grant Road situation. Where are we in terms of that process? That is going to be, talk about disruption, that is going to be a major, major disruption. Not only for the people who live in those that neighborhood, but just the people who travel.
Right.
And could you just talk about where we are in the process, what's coming up, and what should people expect?
A couple things going on. One, you're going to see we're going out to bid on the Grant Oracle intersection. That'll be the first point of construction. We've just completed what's called a value analysis process on Grant Road, where we try and define, once we've completed with the city the design phase prior to construction, are there opportunities to save additional taxpayers' monies as we move forward. Grant Road is one of those projects that is designed to be under construction over three of the five-year cycles between now and 2026. So there's going to be a lot of disruption. However, I will tell you that our Main Street Business Program, Small Business Program, has worked directly with over 200 businesses along Grant Road to fully understand what the disruption is going to be like and what the timing of the disruption is going to be like. The bulk of the work that takes the most time and the disruption is the major intersection work. If you look at Campbell and Fort Lowell, for example, that took a good while to get done because there's a lot of utility relocation. We get criticized about other parts of the country. They seem to be able to do things quicker. But we're doing things in the heart of the city, which is a high-density area. Grant Road is certainly one of those routes, and it's just going to be disruptive for a while.
So it's going to go from where to where?
Oracle to Swan, and it's a widening of six lanes, the total route of Grant Road.
And left turns are going to be different, right?
Well, the city is advancing this concept of what's called Michigan lefts, which basically you go through the intersection, you make a U-turn, you come back so you can go north. Now, everybody shakes their head, including me.
I'm shaking.
Including me.
We're all shaking our heads.
The city of Tucson and Pima County are in a race to see who does it first because Pima County is looking at doing it on Ina and Thornydale. So we're trying to figure out how that's going. I have personally not seen it in action. I'm looking forward to seeing that. It's like everything else we do. We want to try something that's creative, innovative. If it doesn't work, we don't continue it. But we're looking at ways of funding it right now.
It's called a Michigan left?
Michigan left. That's what it's called.
So I guess it started in
It started in Detroit. Apparently it's very successful. I think it's funny. People are enamored with rotaries. I'm from New York and Boston, and people in Boston hate rotaries. But now these roundabouts that we talk about are somehow going to be the answer. So we'll see.
Well, I think they have those kind of left turn deals in New Jersey, and I can tell you that if you're not familiar with them,
well,
you just go sailing on forever,
right,
wondering, when do I get to take a left turn?
It was like everything that's new requires a fairly intensive educational process, and that'll be part of the mix.
And there will be lots of cussing and lots of cars.
There will be.
People go cruising
there will
by.
Be. We won't have RTA signs there. So no.
Before we take a break, Gary Hayes of the RTA, we'd like to work in a phone call. I think we have Robert on the line. Gary's wearing his headset. Sarah, put yours on so we can hear Robert. Go ahead, Robert. You're on with Gary Hayes.
Gary, was the repaving between Craycroft and Wilmot and on Broadway an RTA project?
Craycroft and Broadway, no, it is not.
They did that in 48 hours. They completely removed the street and put a new street down.
Yeah. Yeah, that I think is within the city, and that is, best of my recollection, Robert, that's a city project that they've done. These things can be done quickly when you don't have major disruptions like utility relocation. And I think we have a great relationship with our jurisdictions to try and do it as quickly as possible. I mentioned the Twin Peaks project, which is much larger than the one you're talking about. It was done in less than 18 months, under budget, under schedule. So these things can be done, and we're constantly pushing that.
Okay. Go ahead, Tara.
And Gary, you mentioned that that interchange, people really love it. How do you know that? Do you get, fan letters for interchanges?
We do. I get a lot of commentary. Of course, I get some negative comments, not about that project, but other projects. But on that one, I can't tell you that people just love the project.
Let's see if we can work one more question in, and I've got that for Gary Hayes right now about, speaking of roads, Kolb Road. There was a question from one of the, again, going back to the Tucson City Council, Councilman Cunningham, about the Kolb Road extension over by Udall Park. What's the latest on that?
You're talking about a 20-year plan that's divided in 4 or 5-year cycles. We committed to the voters that we would begin construction on 11 major arterial projects during the first 5 years. The 11th project is the Kolb Road extension. There was supposed to be some utility work done at the intersection of Tanque Verde and Sabino Canyon this week. It has now been postponed 10 days. That'll be the formal beginning of the project. There's resistance there from local neighborhoods. We know that. We've been talking to them for quite a while. However, there's a broader issue here from a regional perspective. That's a very desperately needed project. And it's interesting that the voters in Ward 2 voted for the RTA plan, which included the Kolb Road extension.
Okay, Gary Hayes is with us at 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Let's hear from the Buckmaster Show fine group of sponsors, and we'll be back with Gary Hayes and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. Stay with us.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tanque Verde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Well, 21 on the Buckmaster Show. Gary Hayes is the Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. If you have any transportation questions, Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me from the Arizona Daily Star. Before I give it over to Sarah for her next question, got to ask you about, there's been some controversy over the contracting that goes on with RTA and how you let some of these contracts. What can you say generally about it?
Well, we're very careful about how we issue contracts, and you know, we've used contracting as opposed to staffing. The RTA actually has no staff. We have a contract with PAG, as you mentioned. You mentioned PAG earlier. But we also use a whole series of small contractors because they tend to be time-restricted and using specialty services. There's been some criticism about hiring a former mayor of one of our communities, and I can tell you that this is an individual who's done an exceptional job in advancing the construction of the streetcar based on his experience with Raytheon and federal contracts. There's been some criticism that a distant relative was involved in a company that we had hired to do some of this value analysis that I mentioned earlier. You know, we're very careful about making sure before we execute any contracts that we've covered all the bases legally and every other way. You know, I realize that conflict of interest is more a perception than a reality, but we feel that there's no conflict of interest.
Been no laws broken.
No, none.
Do you think that to kind of piggyback on that, that the idea that there is a perception, perhaps,
sure,
that there might be a conflict of interest, or maybe just something that could be avoided if a contract was to go to a different firm or a different person, or
right,
is it worth the public perception and even the question that or just the sort of the feeling that something,
sure,
might not be okay here?
Right, that's a great question. You know, we're time sensitive in what we do and how we have to do it. We have to get to the construction phase on a number of projects. We have vetted it in the sense of understanding, you know, where's this special talent? This isn't just a talent that is available locally. And we've made a determination, whether rightly or wrongly, that when we've executed these contracts, we've done them with individuals or corporations or companies that have a special skill set. And they've been recommended to us to do that. Now, in hindsight, sure, you wish you'd go to RFP process on every contract you had. You wish you'd have, you know, a fully extended period of transparency and everything else. But I go back to the fact that, you know, we have a challenge of getting the job done, and it's time sensitive, and we have to do it as quickly and as effectively as we can do it.
It's 12:23 on the Buckmaster Show. I think our next call for Gary Hayes, head of the RTA, is from David. David, go ahead. You're on the Buckmaster Show with Mr. Hayes.
I understand that the city of Tucson gave about $42 million to the RTA and only has a 1/9 vote. And if you break it up by ward, that works out to about $7 million per ward. And most of the projects I see tend to be on the outskirts of town that may benefit more suburbs. So what I'm wondering is how is it justified to take, let's say, $7 million from Ward 5 or Ward 1 to build bike paths in Bear Canyon that are not really that used by people? I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, thanks for calling.
That's a great question. A couple of statistics I'll share with you. The region that we serve, the city of Tucson, represents about 54% of the population. If you look at the whole RTA plan, 67% of the resources, financial resources and projects are dedicated to the city of Tucson. So if you want to talk about fair share, if you only have 54% of the population getting 67% of the money, you're doing pretty well. You can start picking on individual projects, but how about the modern streetcar? The modern streetcar is 4 miles within the city limits. It's $196 million of federal money and RTA money. You know, if I lived in the town of Marana, Sorita, I'd say, where's my cut out of that?
Where is my cut out of that?
We view that as a regional project, and I think, you know, in a perfect way, I think citizens throughout the region are going to use the streetcar as a point of connectivity. But that's a different issue. I think this premise that somehow the RTA board doesn't effectively address the financial needs of the city is really inaccurate, and that's why when the plan was put together, we'd made sure that the greatest need was met, and good or bad, the greatest need was in the city of Tucson.
Gary Hayes, while we're waiting for our next call, I want to ask you about the next 5 years. You're 5 years into the program. People are really going to see disruptions.
We have scheduled major construction underway on, we talked a little earlier about Grant Road. You're going to see Cold Road Connection, McGee, La Cañada, La Cholla. Houghton Road is going to have a major construction phase during the next 5 years. Downtown Leaks, which is the extension of the Braz Aviation, Route 22nd Street, the Keno Interchange. So these are major roadway widening and in construction improvements, and you're going to have utility relocation and everything else. So you're going to see a lot of that in the next 5 years.
Joe is ready on the Buckmaster Show. Joe, go ahead. You're with Gary Hayes.
Okay. Thank you very much for taking my call. My question.
Our pleasure.
My question concerns the new construction along Speedway between Camino Seco and Houghton.
Mm-hmm.
And are there going to be bus pullout lanes with the new construction?
There will be. Part of the delays, as I understand, on that project, and again, the city takes the lead on the project, there's been some archaeological issues that have to be attended to. You have to meet certain state and federal standards before completing the project. We have over 200 bus pullouts as part of the RTA plan. I can't tell you specifically about the section you're talking about. I'd find it hard to believe that there aren't some there. There also will be a fairly state-of-the-art park-and-ride system at the extension out on Houghton and Broadway, and that'll be under construction during the next 5 years as well.
Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
I wanted to ask about the public transportation part of the RTA, and specifically what services and accommodations are made for people in Tucson with disabilities who need to use the public transportation system. We don't hear a lot about that, and I know it's part of the program that voters approved. Can you kind
sure.
of update us?
A couple things. One is, as you know, the SunTrans system also has the SunVan system, and that deals specifically with folks with disabilities. We also actually, in a somewhat related way, fund a volunteer ride program with PCOA, the Commission on Aging in the community. So we're addressing that way. SunVan has been a great partner. We have $534 million, including the streetcar, dedicated to transit over the 20 years. But the disability component is handled within the city by SunVan. In Oro Valley, it's handled by Coyote Run. In the county, it's handled by Handycar. And we've actually taken over the management of Handycar, and we're talking to the town of Oro Valley about taking over the management of Coyote Run, including the ADA or handicap component of that.
And the streetcar will it have the buses do?
Any project that is federally funded, like the streetcar, has to be fully ADA, American Disabilities Act, compliant, and that will be addressed as well.
Gary Hayes, we're quickly running out of time. So the next 5 years with the modern streetcar and these other major intersections and roadways around town, could this be, if you look at this in 4 or 5 year components, could this be the most labor intensive?
I would say it probably is. The next 15 years will be labor intensive. And just to comment on that, we recognize that we're one of the few public job creating engines in the community, and we're very sensitive to that. As you know, we've just gone to the bond market for $150 million to accelerate projects, to create and sustain jobs in the community, but also to get the projects done sooner.
How has the economy impacted the road work?
Well, it's impacted everybody. Our sales tax proceeds have gone down on average 13%, but the other side of the equation is our bids are coming in 30% below what they're anticipated. That's not an apples-to-apples equation, but it really creates a good situation for us in terms of moving projects.
Can I throw a quick air quality question
sure.
at? How's the air quality been under the FEMA Association of Governments?
It's interesting. When I was flying back into Phoenix a couple of weeks ago, it was the day after the Haboob in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what we are not. We are not Haboob Central. You know, dust and particulate matter is a concern. We're more concerned about ozone standards that will be impacted by that. The federal EPA has delayed the issuance of ozone standards. We're very concerned about what that impact is going to be.
Okay, Gary Hayes, good session, some good questions for the from the Buckmaster Show listeners. Thanks for being with us, and good luck on the next 5 years.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and Sarah,
glad to be here.
Sarah will stick around for our Friday roundtable. Jim Nintzel waiting in the wings from the Weekly for the roundtable. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Today's government report showing the unemployment rate has dipped to 9.1% could help to ease the fears of another recession, but it has not prevented another wild day of trading on Wall Street, with the key averages sharply higher and then falling to lows. The mother of a 17-year-old boy shot and killed on a New Orleans bridge after Hurricane Katrina says she's relieved by today's convictions of five current or former police officers on charges stemming from the shootings. It'll take 5 years for Juno to get where it's going, but one planetary scientist says it was fantastic to see it lift off today from Cape Canaveral. The space probe is headed to Jupiter. On Wall Street, the Dow currently up about 2 points. More details at srnnews.com.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Savino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It's 12:35 on the Buckmaster Show. Welcome back. We are on KVOI AM 1030 and the Voice Network over Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Every Friday, we bring in our Friday reporter, journalist featuring... Well, today, Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star and Jim Nitzel is with us from the Tucson Weekly. We welcome you to join in the conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Jim, we welcome you back to our roundtable and welcoming you back to town. Where were you?
2 weeks in Waikiki, Bill.
Oh, my goodness.
Brady Bunch kind of vacation.
Did you find the amulet?
The amulet is in my possession. Everything's
you better watch
moving
out.
Smoothly.
Because Vincent Price could show up at any time.
I'm awaiting the knock on my door.
Well, we're glad you're back safe and sound, and I assume those trade winds were blowing very pleasantly.
They were. It's tough to get out of that aloha spirit. Mm-hmm. It's been a very tough readjustment to the old Pueblo, but I'm doing my best.
You know, I always say getting off the plane and that first smell of the wonderful Pacific air out in the middle of nowhere, to 2,500 miles from the West Coast, 25 or 3,000 from Asia, there's not a lot of air pollution over there.
There isn't, and you just there's a little bit of radiation drifting in from Japan, unfortunately. But otherwise, very beautiful place, and that open-air airport is just an astonishing place to get off the plane.
What a surprise visit, Sarah and Jim, of Congresswoman Gabby Giffords on the floor of the House of Representatives on Monday. I mean, Sarah, this is like, it's unbelievable that Gabby Giffords would be back on the floor of the Congress, House of Representatives, less than 7 months after she survived an assassination attempt.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And it was the kind of thing where she wasn't just stopping by to say hello. She was there to cast her vote. She voted for the debt ceiling deal. And within just a matter of minutes, people were calling her a sellout and criticizing her for her vote. But in a way, and as I said in my editorial in the Star, it's kind of reassuring that people are back criticizing her for what she's doing rather than just for, her state of physical health. But also, it was just so, after just the acrimony and the nastiness and the unnecessary tenor of it all for so long, going on and on and on, to see people kind of just drop all that for even just a second and to welcome her and to see her, it was amazing. And she recognized people and she was saying hello to old friends, and it was moving people. It was awe-inspiring.
And Jim, you said in this week's edition of the Skinny, Gabby the personification of courage.
Yeah, which was a comment made by Nancy Pelosi after Gabby had made her surprise appearance, and I think really stole the show on Monday afternoon, and you know, Team Giffords did a very good job of keeping this very quiet, and I think they were really mulling the decision over the weekend of whether or not Gabby would go, and she decided it was very important to go on Monday morning when she made the final decision. I think over the weekend there was a lot of questions about how this vote was going to go, how close it was going to be, and she did not want to miss a vote if it was going to make the difference, and on Monday morning she decided, yes, I want to do this, got on the plane, commercial flight with her husband, and flew back to Washington, D.C. Very quietly. You know, there were a few people who knew she was coming, but most people were quite surprised to see her there, and the applause she received, you know, upon entering the House floor was really an astonishing moment. As I stay at home every afternoon and watch C-SPAN, so of course I saw it building up there, and it was really, I think, interesting to see the network people trying to figure out exactly what that applause was all about as we were watching take place, and I think it was something that did help break a lot of the partisan tensions that were existing there. There was some talk that she might stay in Washington after that, go to the White House. Her husband, Mark Kelly, was being honored at the White House as part of his shuttle crew, but the decision was made that she would return to Houston and resume her physical therapy, and I think the trip probably was pretty tough on her at this point to make that journey, and so let's hope that she can continue her recovery and be back to work on a more regular basis.
I think everyone will be wondering now when she will be coming back permanently.
Right, and I have to say that leading up to the vote and over the past couple weeks, we at the letters to the editors that we receive at the Star, there was sort of a study like, you know, I'm in CD Congressional District 8, my representative isn't there, I'm not being represented, where's Giffords, I'm just left out, and then we would get other letters in response saying, well, I'm not part of the Tea Party, so I'm not represented either. I mean, it was this sort of back and forth, but there was one letter writer who wrote, you know, I'm not represented because my congresswoman is not able to be there. He wrote a letter that we published in the days leading up, and like within instantaneously almost, I was watching C-SPAN in the newsroom, saw her. By the time I got back to my desk, there was a letter to the editor that he had sent saying, I sent this letter complaining I was wrong. Welcome back. So wonderful to see her. So I think it's that sort of, if we can just get past ourselves and all the bickering and the back and forth, and just remember that we're all people and we're all trying to do what we think is right one way or the other, and just keep our humanity in mind as we deal with each other, and take that as a lesson from Gabby, who, it's not just her appearance there, that is the kind of politician that she's always been. I mean, as a journalist, you try to get her to say, you know, kind of snarky things about the other side, you know, things that would make a good quote, and she just doesn't go for it. Whereas other politicians are all too happy to criticize their opponents. And so I think it wasn't just her appearance, as miraculous as that was, it's her whole tenor, and I think that is what we can also remember.
Jim Nitzel from the Tucson Weekly is with us, and Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. It's 12:42. This is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday roundtable. While we had Congresswoman Giffords, Jim, voting yes on the debt ceiling deal, her counterpart in Southern Arizona, Congressman Raul Grijalva, who will be our Friday focus guest next week here on the Buckmaster Show, he's furious over the terms of that deal.
Very unhappy with the way it all went down. Congressman Raul is, of course, the co-chair of the Progressive
Caucus. You're casual right now from that aloha spirit. It's Congressman Raul.
Congressman Raul. Certainly, as a member of and co-chair of the Progressive Caucus, is unhappy with the structure of the deal. He feels too much was given away, and he wants to see tax increases. He wants to see shared sacrifice and not just cuts to the programs that help the folks who are in need of help in our country, but also some shared sacrifice from folks in the upper brackets who have, let's face it, done pretty well over the last 10 years. And so, you know, that's going to be what needs to be hammered out next in this whole little kabuki dance we see going on between the Tea Party Republicans and the Democrats and the Obama White House at this point. And that's the question of how do you really get a handle on what are very serious fiscal problems. I mean, the math is pretty obvious. We have changing demographics. We do have a definite need to figure out how we're going to be able to afford the military that we have today and the entitlement programs that we have today.
And judging by Wall Street's reaction, they're not real happy about the way the debt ceiling deal has gone either.
Right. And this was the first time you saw a debt ceiling held hostage in this way. In the past, it's been a political vote where the folks on who were out of power could score a few points by voting against it. But the increase has always been very routine. This was the first time you saw a political party actually hold a gun to the head of the global economy. And that definitely was a change of the way Washington works. And we'll see whether or not this continues. But I think Republicans, if you look at the polls, have come out of this looking really bad. Boehner's negatives have skyrocketed since this happened. The presidents have held pretty steady. And when you ask the American people, a recent poll I think just done yesterday said, do you think you want your politicians to stand their ground on principle or do you want to see compromise? I think compromise was up about 80% and stand your ground was down about 20%. So there's, I think, in this country right now, people are looking for our politicians to begin working together again and finding solutions to problems and not just standing and saying, look, I want it all my way. And that was one of the more interesting things that came out of this with Senator Kyle, where he said, you know, he could barely bring himself to vote for this because he thought the bill was treasonous because of the trigger that was built in there in terms of military cuts if the super committee that they put together doesn't come to some kind of an agreement. And I think that's the point of having a trigger that's really unpalatable to both sides so that you do reach some kind of agreement. And I just don't believe that you can have the military at the size you have it now, the tax rates at the level you have them now, and the entitlement programs. I mean, the math does not work. And so we do need to actually figure out how we're going to straighten this country out. But at the same time, you also have a very serious economic situation where you need to create some kind of demand. And I don't think what we have going on right now is going to work.
Well, and think about it. I mean, everyone makes compromises. You make compromises, Jim, you make I mean, everyone makes compromises
it's
in your daily
life.
Yep. And it's ridiculous to go to work as a congressperson and say, I'm not going to compromise and think that that's okay. I mean, it's just, and then preschool's over and the bell rings and we all go home. It just doesn't, life doesn't work that way. And I think the real disconnect that people are feeling is that the anger that, you know, I can't do that in my life. There's things I don't want to pay taxes to support certain things that the government does, but I have to because I pay taxes. I do what I'm supposed to do. So It's that disconnect between real life and the fantasy life that some people in Washington seem to live in where it just doesn't compute. And that disconnect, I think, just got starker and starker and starker over the past couple weeks. And it just seemed like, are there no bounds? Is there no sense of we just got to get past this and do what's right? Because you can't go through life refusing to – I mean, there's a difference between – compromising and capitulating. Compromising is coming together. You have a good idea that you think is great. I might not think it's so hot, but I have something that's important to me that you may not support. You come together, you figure it out, you work it out. That's what people do. And when people see that not happening in the people who we send to Congress, it destroys the faith, what little there is left in the process. And I think the damage that was done is going to continue. And it's only going to get worse because the deadline is what, right before Christmas for the super committee? I don't think it's going to get any better. I think this is only the beginning.
And you do have an interesting situation. I mean, Congress has reached its lowest polling numbers ever in the New York
Times.
Wasn't
it 5% of the public
thought
they were doing a good job?
I think it was more than 80% felt as though they were doing a bad, disapproved of the job. And I think the support was somewhere in the teens. And so it's very there's a real dislike of what's happening in Washington. But there's also an interesting dynamic going on within the Republican Party, because if you also also look at polls that show how the voters feel about their separate parties, Republicans are far more likely to support candidates who do not compromise. They like that particular style in their politicians, and Democrats and independents tend to like politicians that are willing to compromise. And I think if you look at who comes down on the which side of the equation there, obviously I think the Democrats and Obama were far more willing to compromise than Republicans were. How this plays out in the next election cycle, we'll see. Certainly the economy does not show signs of strengthening. And as a result of this deal, I think you're going to have a much harder time actually finding a way to stimulate it and goose it up. And so that's going to be a real problem over the next 2 years in terms of actually getting people back to work. Some positive numbers in the jobs report today, but not overwhelmingly positive. And so, yeah, we're going to have to see how that plays out in the months to come.
Only got a few seconds left. Final comment, Sarah?
Well, I worry about the country as we go forward if we just dig into our own positions and refuse to listen. If we only listen to ourselves and people who agree with us, we're just destined to continue on this path.
Sarah Garrett Gasson, the Arizona Daily Star, and Jim Ninsel from the Tucson Weekly, thank you very much. On the Friday Reporters Roundtable, some very thoughtful comments from both of you. Appreciate it very much. We'll be talking about what's coming up on the Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson, on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. With 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Twist and Shouting by The Pool. That weekend watch music means it's time for the weekend, and that means Matt Russell, Tucson publicist, guy around town, always looking for a good meal, and the man we have dubbed here on the Buckmaster Show, and I think it just might stick, the culinary cruiser. What are you cruising for today, Matt?
Well, you know, I'll be doing a little bit of cruising this afternoon, Bill, but as I stand here now overlooking the crystal clear blue waters of the Russell Pool, I'm thinking right after this segment, I'm going to have a quick dip before I return to work for the last few hours of the day.
Oh, you are going back to work. I thought maybe you were done for the day over at Russell Communications.
Well, that's what I'm telling you and everybody, that I'll be going back to work. It's just us two, right, Bill?
That's right, just us two. What's going on this weekend, tonight specifically? Yeah. Let's get it going.
Great things on tap for your listeners this weekend, Bill. Starting tonight is this great event up at St. Philip's Plaza on the southeast corner of River and Campbell, starting at 4:30 this afternoon and going all the way up to 7:30, Friday Night Live at St. Philip's Plaza. And this is a great venue for live music. There's wine and food tastings and pairings. There's strolling performances, children's activities, jugglers. There's even some face painting, of course, all brought to us by the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance. They always do such great work in this community. Friday Night Live at St. Philip's Plaza tonight.
Is that some new event? I haven't heard much about St.
Philip's. Yeah, you know, they're just sort of recreating it and then giving us, you know, a lot of things going on Saturdays and Sundays, and different organizations really wanting to own different days of the week. But they're really developing Friday night as their own, and lots of Tucsonans are coming out for these events.
And if folks really want to cool off, things have been really nice up on Mount Lemmon. I think the high up on Mount Lemmon is going to be maybe the mid-70s, lower 70s, and overnight lows in the 50s. Nice, good weather to catch some music.
Yeah, Sunday is going to be Music on the Mountain, and it's going to be my good friend and local blues guy, Stephen George. He's going to be up there at Summer Haven from 11 to 4, right out there for a great outdoor concert, bluegrass and blues. You can bring your blankets, just stretch out, have a great time in the cool breeze, and of course some great food and drink opportunities for all your listeners.
Yeah, you can always find a piece of pie up on the mountain.
I always count on a great piece of pie up there.
I know you do. Tucson Originals, they're doing some great summer specials. Are you in the mood for sushi?
I think I certainly am. Yeah, this is my Tucson Originals pick of the week is our good friends over at Bushi Sushi, northwest corner of Speedway and Swan. Now get this. They've got any sushi roll on the menu and a bottle of Taiku Sake for only $20.11. And if you want to do something different, they'll give you an appetizer, any teriyaki dish, and a bottle of, let me see if I got this right, Bakbun Jaju for only $20.11. That's available daily from 12 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. That's our Tucson Originals pick of the week. All of your listeners can go to TucsonOriginals.com to find out all of the restaurants that are participating in this great summer campaign.
That's a smoking deal from the sushi people.
Yeah, I've never met a piece of raw fish I didn't like, Bill.
The Tucson Originals do a great job, and I know you're very close to a lot of the organization there. These are not chain restaurants.
Yeah, these are the local, independently owned restaurants here in Tucson that have really helped to define Southern Arizona as the culinary capital of the Southwest, and they joined together to really introduce what is unique about the Southern Arizona culinary culture that they like to manifest on their menus. So this is not the chains, the big box restaurants that you find all over the country. These are Southern Arizona born and bred restaurants, and we love to give them our business.
As you cruise from restaurant to restaurant, what's the word on the street? Pretty good summer so far?
Yeah, much better summer than I think anyone had anticipated. Of course, this time of year, things tend to slow down with people flocking to different parts of the Western United States. But in some of the conversations I've had with chefs and restaurateurs, they've really been delighted by the turnout. And again, it's really because of the magic that is being created at those restaurants.
Okay, Matt Russell, our culinary cruiser, the guy who presents the Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show. You can jump back in the pool now, and we'll tell everybody you'll be headed back to Russell Communications very shortly, maybe within the hour. Uh-huh. Have a great weekend.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by our good friends at Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants. Mike Flowers and the gang over there at 2919 East Broadway. If you have any need for a CPA, they give wonderful service over there. They really know what they're doing. Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, producer Rosemary Brandt, and our marketing director, Deborah Howard, I am Bill Buckmaster wishing you a wonderful and a very safe weekend. We'll see you here Monday live at noon on the Buckmaster Show.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.